Hallelujah. How many of you, your feet hit the ground this morning and you were ready to go? Say yeah. Yeah. Hallelujah. give you this little quote. I think we may have given it to somewhere along the line. Medical research has discovered that the part of your brain which controls human speech is connected to every nerve in your body. So when the Bible says life and death is in the power, so think about what happens when we open our mouth and what comes out of it will produce life or death. The more we talk about a problem, the bigger the problem gets. But if we talk about the answer, then the answer becomes prominent. Amen? When we talk about the problem, then we elevate the problem above God's word. Then we feel like we're buried, we're underneath something. But the first thing out of our mouth should always be what the word says. What? Say it with me now, what the word says. Say it again, what the word says. So we're going to put some things up on the screen, and I'm going to give you some definitions, but if I can, I want to take this to a different level. How many of you have the word on the inside of you? There's a key that's missing many times. How many of you drove here in a vehicle? If you have a vehicle and you have fuel in the tank and you have an engine, you have to do something to make those things come together. That's called having an ignition switch, but that causes a spark to cause the gasoline to be ignited and your engine to begin to run. Am I right? Listen to me now. We have the word of God. It's powerful. It's there available to us, but what's missing is the ignition many times. The ignition in the spirit realm is our confession. You could have the word, you can know every scripture verse in the Bible, but the only way to ignite the word of God and allow the logos to become the rhema is to say out of our mouth. Because when you confess what the word says, the situation changes. Say it changes. Say it changes. But our confession is what does it. The word of God, I've got the word of God here. We've got in all kinds of forms sitting on our lap, however you want to get a hold of it. But this logos can be nothing but dormant unless it becomes rhema. It becomes rhema by what comes out of our mouth. I thought I'd get a bigger shout than that, but I'll try that again. If it doesn't come out of our mouth and we don't begin to praise him for it, it'll lie dormant. How many of dormant is worth nothing? Remember the scripture verses where the man gave some coins out to different people and they all invested it, but one person did what? He buried it in the ground. The word of God is not meant to be buried in the ground somewhere. It's not about your uncle, your aunt, or your mom and dad went to the church you went to as a kid and they had a special pew there with their name on it, donated it by, and only family members could sit there. Who cares? It's about souls. Say, it's about souls. Anybody can sit there if they'd like to. As I grew up as a kid, we had certain seats in the church that were reserved without saying it for certain people. And God forbid a visitor, who would never come back again, of course, you can't sit there. Why not? Well, that's reserved for such and such. When you get that kind of religion into the house of God, when you get religion into the word of God, it's a death sentence, amen? The church should have a seat open and available for anybody anytime they come. What happens if prostitutes begin to show up? You let them be here because what happens is when God changes somebody, he changes them from the inside out. Say the inside out. So listen now. Say the living word of God. Listen to this now. These are descriptions of the word of God. Say descriptions of the word of God. Where's the word of God? I'm in me because Jesus and the word are synonymous with one another. Fair enough? Listen to the first one. It's indestructible. Say indestructible. I went ahead and looked up some of these definitions. I was amazed myself. Say indestructible, not able to be destroyed. You wonder why there's such hatred for the word of God and for the absolutes of God's word? It was going on in the book of Acts when they were preaching the word of God and they told them, you can no longer use the name of Jesus. If somebody tells me I can't, watch out, I'm going to do it. Amen? You can no. Why were they afraid of the name of Jesus? Because of what it would accomplish. The power that's behind that name. Amen. People today are still afraid of what? The name of Jesus. You can mention other gods. You can mention their names. You can give praise and glory to them, but you can't do that with the name of Jesus. You know what I'm going to do? Stand up and say, in the name of Jesus. Yes. I remember years ago, we had the Babe Ruth World Series here, and I was asked to give the opening prayer. I was written up in the paper the next day. You can't talk and pray like that and mention Jesus, because I mentioned, thank you, Jesus, for this beautiful day and the weather that you're giving us in all of your creation. I got put down for it. You know what? Glory to God, because I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Did they ever ask you back? No, and I wouldn't want to go back again. Hallelujah. You understand that now? So listen, it's indestructible. It can't be destroyed. Say, it can't be destroyed. You ready for this? Another word, durable. Say durable. Durable. Remember the shoes that were on the feet of the Israelites? They were durable shoes. Why? Never wore out. How many of you have a pair of shoes that have never worn out? Say it's durable. Durable. It's lasting. How many things in our life can we say that are lasting? Today in our throwaway society, things are made not to last long. You understand that? But the Word of God, say the Word of God, is lasting. Are you ready for this one now? The word indestructible means deathless. Matthew 24, 33. Sky and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. Any word that's ever been spoken is still out there working today. Do you know that? Here we go now. The scientists say that the universes are still expanding. I wonder why. Because God spoke it and it's still going on today. When you and I speak the word of God out of our mouth, whatever we speak is still going on today. Say, still going on today. There are children where moms have prayed for them for years and they never came into the fullness of God. But when they pass away, their words are still going out there. And suddenly they realize, you know what? Mama was right. I got news for you. Mama and Pop are always right. They're never wrong. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You want another one? Unbreakable. Are you ready for this one? These are actually definitions. Shatterproof. The word of God, say with me, is shatterproof. Here's another one. Heavy duty. Here's another definition. Ready? Incorruptible. It means not susceptible to corruption. The word of God cannot be corrupted. And where's the word of God? On the inside of us. Say on the inside of us. It means that it's honest. There's a shortage of honesty and the truth today in our society. Everybody wants to hear what their ears want to hear so their ears can be tickled. And before you know it, what they hear, even if it's a lie, becomes the truth because that's all they hear and understand. The Bible talks about Paul going up to Mars Hill where everybody was looking for a God, looking for answers. And he walked up and said, I got the answer. They said, what is it? And if you didn't tell them something they'd like or want to hear, they'd stone you on the spot. Mars Hill was not a place for cowards. It was a place for people to speak with some kind of authority and power. And then Paul stands up and says, I know what you're looking for, the unknown God. I know his name. Oh, my God, who is it? It's Jesus. They could have stoned him on the spot, but they didn't. Just like Jesus walked through the crowd when they wanted to stone him. All he opened up and said with his mouth, I know who you're looking for. Can I tell you it's the same thing today? I know what the world needs. It needs Jesus Christ, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And can I add into that thing? And he's coming back real soon. Say real soon. Real soon. When the word of God is on the inside of you and you begin to speak it out of your mouth, Holy Ghost, watch out. Say, Holy Ghost, watch out. There's miracles in your mouth. There's miracles in my mouth. But unless we confess the word by faith, we're going to see nothing but a dormant word, a dormant Bible that looks nice, that covers nice. But this is a book that's alive and well. Say alive and well. It's indestructible. It's incorruptible. Are you ready for this now? Here's another one. It's not only trustworthy, it's right-minded. The word of God being incorruptible will place our mind in the right place. The Bible says this, let this mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. Are there enough things out there right now, enough things out there right now that could cause you and I to look in another direction for answers? Sure there are. I carry this little thing Dawn did for the kids a few years ago. I still have it in my little notebook here. It says, spend time with God. This book has information that already exists for you and I. Listen to what she has. The A stands for attend to God's word. It means this, attend to my words, incline your ear unto my sayings, Proverbs 4:20. We need the application of God's word. Amen. I look at some folks' phone and they're going like this. They have so many apps, they could choke a horse. But unless there's an app that's called the word of God that's applied through our confession every day, it just is another dead book full of words. I'm here to tell you, it's the living word of God, and it says it's sharper than any two-edged sword. It will take care of any and any problem that comes your way and my way. Say hallelujah. Hallelujah. Say hallelujah. Hallelujah. She also has down here to pray, Philippians 4:5. Don't worry How many of you ever worried before? How many of you ever had anxiety before? So what did the Bible say? You know that worry and anxiety is sin? You know what that says when you have worry and anxiety, and I do too? It means I think I can handle it myself. That's where the anxiety and worry comes from. Because I can't and you can't. Who can do it? God can do it through his word. Hallelujah. Say, God can do it through his word. Give thanks to the Lord. Listen to what it means for the other P. Pay attention to his voice. Pay attention. Say that when you pay attention to his voice. John 10:17 says, My sheep hear my voice, and they follow me. Hallelujah. Say, sheep hear the voice of the shepherd. I'm talking about myself, and things were coming into my spirit the last couple of days. And one of those things was, in a difficult time in my life, in my wife's life, whatever I go through, she goes through. I mean, you know it's true if you're married. Whatever she goes through, I go through. And I remember sitting on the edge of the bed in Yonkers, New York. We had a little apartment, and the people downstairs didn't want us there. They didn't like us at all. They were very mean to us, and it was a difficult time. And I had a job as a rodent control supervisor. I remember coming home one afternoon for lunch. You remember this, hon? I sat on the side of the bed overlooking the Hudson River. We had a nice little apartment there. And all of a sudden, my wife walks into the room, and she said, honey, I'm glad you're sitting down. I want you to hear a song. I wasn't in the mood for a song. I wasn't in the mood for anybody singing. But then she put on this song, and I had Nikki just pull it up real quick, although I know it by heart, but I want to read it to you. Can I? I'm not going to sing it, but maybe I will. By the Imperials, called Praise the Lord. See, because praise is confession. Yeah. Praise always precedes victory. Yeah. How do you know, Pastor? I've been doing this too long. Praise, say with me, always comes before victory. And we'll look at it in a minute. I'll show you why and how. Fair enough? When you're up against the struggle, I was up against the struggle, and so was my lovely wife. Paulie was the only child we had back then, and the people downstairs, again, didn't like us. It was a difficult time. We lived on a dead-end street. Listen now. Jamie was about to be born. Never forget it. And it was a major snowstorm that had hit us, almost 2 feet in Yonkers, which is unheard of. But the fellow next door to us, guess what? Worked for the Department of Public Works. I put chains on my old car, didn't have front-wheel drive back then, put chains on the back wheel so I could get out of there. And he said to me, Paul, don't worry about it. This is the last street that we do, but I know your wife's expecting it'll be the first street that I plow. Hallelujah. The Lord had a special plow with an angel on it that opened up the street before some of the main arteries were, and we were able to go to the hospital and gave birth to Jamie. Hallelujah. Aren't you happy, Nikki? Glory to God. Say, thank you, Jesus. We were praising God. Say, praising God. See, that's my life, praising God. But I remember sitting on the edge of the bed, 4 years of college behind me. Nothing was opening up, and when it opened up, all the doors shut just as quickly as they opened up. God, what's going on? I don't understand this. God, I spent all these years in college. My wife was with me. We had a beautiful son and another one on the way. My God, listen to these words. When you're up against the struggle, how many have ever been up against the struggle? That shatters all your dreams. You ever had something like it's torpedoed your life, caused your life just to stop? You're like dead in the water. And your hopes have been cruelly crushed by Satan's manifested schemes. Satan has no power, but he'll do anything in his power to get you and I to stay dead in the water. Hallelujah, glory to God. He has nothing on the believer. The believer is free from the attacks of the enemy, but yet he still likes to come back with his little lies and deception to try to see how strong we are. I got news for you. When the word of God that's indestructible is on the inside of you, that's incorruptible on the inside of you, and you begin to confess with your mouth and praise him, hallelujah, watch out. You can smell the enemy running. He stinks. You can see the dust behind him. You can see his tail hitting the ground and getting all scraped up. That's fine with me because he can't stay in the presence of God. He can't stay in the presence of God. Understand this now. The enemy wanted to get Adam and Eve. He wanted to get them out of the presence of God because in the presence of God, there's strength. There's everything that we need. The enemy today will try you and me to get us to a place where we're no longer in his presence. Amen? Because in his presence, say in his presence, there's an anointing. The anointing will change people's lives. What's the anointing of God? When God's presence is manifested, raise your hand. I have an anointing on the inside of me. Say, I have an anointing on the inside of me. If it's on the inside of you, God wants to tap the anointing so you and I can affect other people with the good news of Jesus Christ. Say the good news of Jesus Christ. There's nothing bad about the gospel, you notice. It says gospel means good news. Say good news. Faith comes by. Well, if I don't go to church, how am I going to hear? How many of you can say la, la, la? Then if your la, la, la works, you can hear yourself confessing the word over yourself. Say la, la, la. Ha, ha, ha. Say ha, ha, ha. When problems come your way, every nerve in your body is connected to the speech center. So even when, well, it's a difficult situation, there's nothing too hard for God. Begin to say out of our mouth, listen, what the word of God says. The Bible says he lives in the praises of his saints. Go like this. Start praising him. Come on, just praise him. Go ahead, just praise him a little bit. Just praise him. Come on. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What happens in the realm of the spirit? You're never alone. Say, I'm never alone. I'm always praising God. Sunday morning is good for Sunday morning, but we're going to learn how to develop a praise-alleluia. We're going to learn how to develop praise in the midst of any storms that could possibly come our way. Say praise. Say praise. Come on. Praise. We probably won't get to it this week, but next week we will. Say praise. Praise is confession out of my mouth. Don't let the faith you're standing in seem to disappear. Have you ever had your faith challenged? I sure have. Talking about me now. Here's the verse. Are you ready? The chorus, rather. Praise the Lord. Can I sing it to you? Well, that's very nice. You want to join me? You can. Praise the Lord. He can work through those who praise him. Praise the Lord. I got to come down. Praise the Lord. Habits, praise. Praise the Lord. For the chains that seem to bind you serve only to remind you they drop powerless behind you when you praise him. I'm sitting on an edge of a bed listening to this song, tears coming down my face. I was in a tough time. My wife was in a tough time, spending all those years in preparation for ministry. And when 10 opportunities came our way, within 1 week, all 10 were taken away. I'm going to tell you something. Your heart is saying, what is going on? What's going on? Listen to the next one, if you don't mind. Now, Satan is a liar. We learned in our class Thursday morning, we quote it almost every week. John 8:44 says what? Satan is a liar. There's no truth in him. But listen to me, if you're not speaking the truth of God's word, lies will look for a place to settle on in. Hallelujah. Say glory to God. Say glory to God. Remember I told you an old-time garden keeper said to me, if you want to keep weeds off of your lawn, fertilize it every 30 days. I said, why would I want to do that? He says, because grass, as it grows sideways, will smother out the weeds. So if you and I apply the word of God as fertilizer to our hearts, we're going to choke out the weeds. Say, choke out the weeds. Amen. How many of you like weeds? How many of you know they discovered that using a certain, quote, kind of spray on your lawn to kill the weeds kills you? Have you ever had one of those tests done with the, what's that thing they put the radioactive thing in your, and they have big gloves on, and they got this pill at the end of this long thing. And they said, no, this isn't going to hurt you. Well, put it in your hand and give it to me. Hello, somebody. That's not the word of God. Have you ever seen one of those? I'd be out of there in 3 seconds flat. I had my blood pressure taken the other day, was woo. Then they took it again, it was wee. How come it's like that? Because you got a white robe on, that's why. I don't want to be here. Now, I know, listen to me, when you take blood pressure, you're supposed to be sitting quietly for about 15 minutes with your feet on the ground. What do? They run in, put a small cuff on you, your feet are dangling like this. Oh, your high blood pressure's 9,000. See, I wonder why. You got a small cuff? Well, yeah, give me a big one. Your arm's not big enough. I want a big cuff. They want to put me on a scale? Oh, you can leave all your clothes on. You know how heavy the coat weighs? I walk right by. He said, you got to get on the scale. I said, I'm not getting on the scale. Well, what's the doctor going to think? I said, they can talk to me. I'll tell them what I think. I had 2 appointments, 2 different doctors in the same day. I went to one, then I went to the other one. There's a 20-pound difference. I told my doctor, you better get a new scale. Because I like the one I was just at. Hallelujah. Ever have that happen to you? We don't have scales in our house. No such thing in our house. No. No, what for? When you look as good as I do, you never have to step on a scale. I better quit while I'm ahead. Glory to God. Say, Satan is a liar, and he wants to make us think. Because where is the attack? Always in our minds. My God. He wants us to think that we are paupers when he knows himself we're children of the King. So lift your hand and say, I'm a child of the King of Kings. I'm a child of the King. Say it out loud. I'm a child of the King. Now, I just tell you what I heard in my spirit. I know somebody just said that because I heard it. Just like Jesus said, I can hear your heart. I don't feel like a king. Nobody asked you what you felt like. If you'll say what the word says about you and about me, you'll understand you're a king. I'm an heir to the kingdom of God. Say, I'm joint heirs with Christ Jesus. That doesn't make you a pauper. It makes you a joint heir with Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. In heavenly places. Glory to God. Say, glory to God. Say, glory to God. See, praise prepares us for heaven. What are we going to do in for eternity? We can't praise God for 5 minutes at home or 10 minutes in a worship service. What are we going to do when we get to heaven? They're going to have classes on how to worship and praise God. I don't have time for it. I'm going to be ready when I get there with my running shoes on. Glory to God. Shoes, Connie, that don't wear out. I'd love to have a pair of those. How many have a favorite something you like to wear? I have this favorite sweatshirt of mine. It has and one on it. How long have I had it? 20 years? Around 20 years. I don't want to know. I like this one. Then one day the zipper broke. And I went to the dry cleaner. I know the guy. Pastor, good, good. How much to fix a zipper? $35. I only paid $15 for the sweatshirt. Pastor, wait a minute. And I never saw this before. He got his finger and ran it up and down the zipper on both sides. So what are you doing? He says, the zipper's not broke. It's the catch. $5. I said, I'll take it. I'll pay in advance. Now I'm going to give my sweatshirt back with a zipper that works. Hallelujah. Listen to the next one. Praise the Lord. Say, praise the Lord. Say, praise the Lord. So lift up the mighty shield of faith, for the battle must be won. We know that Christ has risen, so the work's already done. Listen to me. If Satan knows that we're children of God, we better know that's true. We're children of the King. Say, children of the King. We're children of God Almighty. Say, hallelujah. Glory to God. We did incorruptible, did we not? Can I give you one more? Say, glory. How many of you are getting something today? Say, I'm getting something today, Pastor. Indispensable. That's another definition for the Word of God. Indispensable. Oh, can I go back and give you incorruptible scripture verse? 1 Peter 1, 23 and 25. You have been regenerated and born again, not from mortal origin, seed, or sperm. Remember how Jesus was conceived? Not of a man, but the Holy Ghost came and hovered over. But from one that is immortal. Who's that? That's Jesus Christ, King of Kings. By the ever-living and lasting Word of God. How important is the Word of God? It's the utmost importance. If I could put it this way, it's the centerpiece in your house on your dining room table. Well, we don't have one. Well, if you sit at the kitchen table, we don't have one. If you have a nook, find something and put it on there. I don't care if it's a can of Coke. Put something in the middle of that table. Amen? Because the Word of God is the focal point. Say the focal point. For all flesh is like grass, and all glory and honor like the flower of grass. The grass withers, and the flower drops off. Listen to the 25th verse. But the word of the Lord, say the word of the Lord, God's divine instruction, the gospel endures forever. Say forever. And this word is good news, which was preached to you. So we found out what so far? The word of God is indestructible. Say indestructible, incorruptible. And now we're going to find it's absolutely, listen, indispensable. Say indispensable. Here's some of the definitions. Absolutely necessary. How many of you know for you to breathe is absolutely necessary? For me, it is. Amen. How many know it's absolutely necessary for you to eat a good, balanced meal? Critical. The Word of God is indispensable. It's critical. Say critical. Critical. Say it again. Critical. Critical. I've been in hospitals where visiting people and all of a sudden they make a call. What is it, Staten Hospital, where somebody's having a... And all of a sudden, everybody rushes into the room because somebody's in trouble. The Word of God rushes to you. It's a critical situation, and the Word of God will lift you and I up above the fray and the storm. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. He works through those who do what? Praise Him. Here's another definition if you don't want. Mandatory, and it's also urgent. The Word of God is urgent, and we need it every single day. Say every single day of our life. Listen to Job 23:12. I have not gone back from the commandment of His lips. From His what? That means something must be moving. Glory to God. From His lips. I have esteemed and treasured the words of His mouth. The Word of God is so important for us to hear what comes out of the lips of God. I've esteemed and treasured the words of His mouth more than my necessary food. How important is food? How necessary is food? But the words from God's lip. Remember when the disciples came to Jesus and said, are you going to eat something? He said, my bread, my food is to do the will of the Father. That's my food for the day. That's my food for every day. Amen. Here's another definition. Infallible. Say infallible. Are you ready for this now? We'll do the next one, then we'll go home. Infallible. Incapable of making mistakes. The Word of God cannot make a mistake. You wonder why people don't want Jesus around? Why they don't want the Word of God around? Because it's incapable of making mistakes where human beings and mankind can and will make mistakes. See, it comes in because there's never failure in the Word. The Word of God has never failed me. I'm talking about me. The Word of God has never failed me. Say, never failed me. When I came home one night years ago from doing the youth work in the Bronx, it was like 1 o'clock in the morning, and I was driving, I think I shared it with you, a white Ford pickup truck. I had gotten it from working in the business that I was with another guy in Pennsylvania. And as I turned, I noticed a police officer behind me, put his lights on, pulled me over. Then I noticed other cop cars up in front of me came in, and everybody got out and pulled guns and got behind their cars. I'm going like, okay. All things work together for good that love God and called according to His purpose. I was trying to pull that one out. Officer walks up with his gun like this. He comes over to the window, roll down your window. And he said, license and registration. I said, what did I do? And I said, I'm coming back from a youth meeting. I went to grab the Bible and he cocked his gun. When somebody cocks the gun, you don't do nothing. You don't say nothing. Don't move. And then he came back after he checked everything out. Somebody had called the Yonkers Police Department and said that somebody driving a white Ford pickup truck with Pennsylvania plates was going to kill a police officer. I fit the bill. When you're in that kind of a situation, I was robbed working at a gas station when I was in college. Man came in and pulled a gun point blank like this and said, give me the money. So guess what I did? Gave him the money, glory to God. When you have a gun facing you, you have difficult situations facing you, what you need to do is have something on the inside already because you can't suddenly reach for the Word of God. Hold on a minute, will I find a scripture verse that'll work? You better proclaim the Word of God right then and there. It's got to be, say, a reservoir on the inside. Say, a reservoir on the inside. Listen to this now. Incapable of making mistakes. Oh, my God. The Word of God cannot be wrong. See, there's the key. It can't be wrong. So if you and I are in a situation, we've made bad decisions and bad choices, and I've done that, I got to know the Word of God is never wrong. See, sometimes when I found myself going into the presence of God, I do so looking for an answer. Then there are times when I don't want to be in the presence of God because I'm afraid of what He's going to say. That's how I got here. Because I said, I'll never do what I did. I was afraid because I knew what the Holy Ghost was going to say. Oh, my God. Guess what? I'm glad I went in with no preconceived ideas, but just to hear from God and hear what it is He wanted to say from me. I enjoy sitting in the presence of God. I find it the best part of the day when I can sit, read the Word of God with my wife. We can pray. We can speak. We can talk about our lives and see how God has supernaturally blessed us and blessed you, the church. We pray for you every single day. Every single day. And we've made a determination that God is going to raise up a family's name every time we pray, and we'll pray specifically for that parent. There are times we drive around and pray, we drive by your houses and pray. If you wonder what that car was at 2 in the morning, hallelujah, glory to God. We drive by churches and sit in their parking lots and pray for their service on the next day. Hallelujah. Why? Because the Word of God works. Say it works. Say it works. Here's another definition. It's error-free. The Word of God, say, is error-free. Don't ever be afraid of getting in the presence of God or taking Scripture and reading it, because if it comes against what you and I want to do, that's okay, because the plan of God for us is perfect. Our plan spits and sputters and falls apart. You ever had that one happen to you? I sure have many times. Listen to one more. It's flawless. It's faultless. It's perfect. Wow. It's precise and accurate. What is? I got news for you. Because tomorrow when the storm comes, when the difficulties come, I'm ready for it. Say, I'm ready for it. I know people in Florida that they know there's a hurricane coming 10 days away. They'll go out and buy some plywood and some screws. Why? They want to protect their house as much as they can. But I also know people that the day of the storm, oh, it's going to hit, they try to go buy some plywood and screws and they're all gone and they get upset. The Word of God is there to protect us before a storm comes. And when it comes, we're always prepared. Say, always prepared. Glory to God. Let me just do this last one, exhaustible. Say, the Word of God is inexhaustible. Inexhaustible. Guess what it means? Not exhaustible. Say, not exhaustible. Not exhaustible. Incapable of being used up. This precious Word can never be used up. Say it with me. It can never be used up. Incapable of being wearied or worn out. My God, all that's available in this book, but it doesn't work unless you and I begin to say with our mouth what the Word says. Now we're going to end on one scripture verse, can we? Go over to Hebrews 10:23. Given it to you many times, and I'm going to give it to you again. Fair enough? Hebrews 10 and verse 23. Somebody's come here today with this in mind. You came and you kept saying to yourself, I need help. Heard that just now in my spirit. You've come because you need help. And the Holy Ghost just said it was like the woman with the issue of blood. She needed help. And she came. And she kept saying, go like this, saying with her mouth. But it was on the inside, because it said they kept saying it to herself. If I can just get to Jesus. Say, if I can just get to Jesus, if I can just get to Jesus, if I can just touch him. My God, every time we pick up the Word of God and we touch this Word of God and we confess what it says, watch out, healing's about to come. Is there somebody here who fits that bill? You couldn't wait to get here. You were desperate because you need help. Raise your hand. I know it's somebody here. I know that it's somebody here. I won't waste time as I close, but if that's you, get up here now. Don't look at your neighbor and say, should I go? When your gasoline tank is on empty, I get to the gas station. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Well, I can see it all over you, son. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Look at me, honey. It's going to be such a supernatural change. You ready? That even your bowling is going to improve tonight. You won't laugh at me. When I saw that silly scoreboard, because your ball wasn't doing what it was supposed to do, it's all for fun, we just have fun. It said, I'll never forget this, I've been living with it all week, I'm glad you came up. It said gutter ball. It was predetermining what you were going to do. And every time it came up, I curse that word from even being on the scoreboard, because that's not you. What you're up here for right now is not you. It's beneath the Word of God. God's got, where's your husband? Is he here? Come on up, son. Come on. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Has God given you a wonderful man here? Has God given you a wonderful woman? Nothing's bigger than he is. I said nothing's bigger than he is. Honey, come up here, please. Nothing's bigger than he is. I said nothing. Look at me. Nothing's bigger than he is. Nothing. The Word, nothing is bigger than you are. Hallelujah. I'm going to have my wife lay hands on you as Nikki's praying for you. God's going to do a supernatural thing in your life. Go like this. Put your hands right on your belly. Watch out. Watch out. Watch out. Watch out. And get ready. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, church. Pray. James, come around the front and lay hands on him. Hallelujah. Find out what it is that these folks are going through. Come on, get around front and find out. Say hallelujah. Say hallelujah. Listen to what Hebrews 10:23 says in the Greek language. Would you do that? And then we'll release you to go home. Let's come into agreement with God and begin to speak what he says. See that confession right there, saying what he says. When the Bible says confession, confession literally means this, saying the same thing. Say, saying the same thing. So if God's word says we're healed by his stripes, then I'm going to say the same thing. If the Bible says that I will prosper, I'm going to say what God's word says. I will prosper in Jesus' name. Listen, to speak what he says, tightly wrapping our arms around the promises we're confessing. Listen, this is it. This is the promises. I'm just showing you so you can see it. I'm going to wrap my arms around it and say, this works. It'll work for me every time. I will no longer feel like I'm in a desert experience or a wilderness experience because the word of God works for me. And I'm going to wrap my arms. I'm going to wrap my mouth. I'm going to wrap everything about my being on the word of God. Somebody say, hallelujah. Around the promise we're confessing. I'm confessing prosperity, health, and well-being to everybody in this congregation. I'm speaking a brand new start for you in whatever you're doing. I'm speaking to the high school kids and the college kids that at the beginning of your life, God's going to supernaturally speak to you as to what school you're to go to, what you're going to be as you grow up. It's all going to come together, but you get before God and confess, God, you know my future. You know my plan. I like to go to this school, and God puts a roadblock up. Well, that's where I want to go, but God wants you over here. I'd rather take what he wants rather than what we want because he knows what's ahead of us. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Say hallelujah. Glory to God. Come on, church. Confess with your praise how powerful he is in your life. Oh, God, listen to this. Embracing it with all my might, holding tightly to it, rejecting all attempts of anyone who tries to steal it from me. How can they be stolen from us? Is when we listen to the lie that's spoken to us by others or by the enemy. Well, you can't do that. It's already been done. I don't want to be the 10 spies who didn't repeat what God said and confess what God said. He said, this land is your land. Only the two came around and said, God said it. That means we can do it. God's word said it. It's the promises of God. I say yay and amen. It's already a done deal. Say a done deal. Hallelujah. Rejecting all attempts of anyone who tries to steal it from us. Not allowing ourselves to be fickle in our commitment, but determined to be flexible, unmoving from that which we believe and we confess. I confess this word that I'm strong in my body. I confess this word that this is a strong ministry. I confess that over my marriage, over my children, over my grandchildren. Begin to confess how strong the word of God is out of your mouth. Go ahead. If you got children, you got a husband and wife, you got grandchildren, begin to confess it right now. Go ahead. Say, I will be strong. My family will be strong. My grandkids are going to be strong. Come on, start thanking him. Wrap your arms around the promises of God. Don't listen to the storm. Peter listened to the storm. Jesus spoke one word, come. And Peter got out of the boat and began to walk on the word Jesus spoke. But then the Bible says he began to look at the waves. God never told him to look at the waves. He just said, come. God is speaking to you through his word just to come to him. Get in his presence. It doesn't have to be an altar at church. It can be the altar in your house. I have a place that I go to probably every day, and I park, but I go there and I sit in my vehicle, winter or summer, and I begin to praise God and speak the word out of my mouth. I find it a place of solitude, a place where I could just go, just him and I, and we have a great time together. But you've got to find that place every day, wherever it may be. Confess and speak the word. If you got a marriage that's not good, well, start talking to it to be better and better and better. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Say, hallelujah, glory to God. Expect great things. Expect great things. Expect great things. Say great things. Great things for your family. Hallelujah. Let's bow your heads real quick for a moment. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for what the word of God has spoken to us. We thank you for all the definitions that have been given, but unless we put them on the inside of us and we begin to hear it back to us, it's not going to be effective. But I want the rhema to become the logos in my life. I want to look at the storms coming and point my finger and say, no, not today, not any other day, because Jesus is going to quell the storms of your life. He'll do it with the word of God, confessing it out of your mouth and my mouth. Amen. Glory to God.